troubles by rainbows. Bearer of peace with a message for all. Today we'll dance, you'll share each other. Elders will stumble, the babies will crawl. Put down your weapons, put down your chosen ones. Put on your best clothes, stand straight and tall. Don't give up on your desire, I can understand your thirst. Put another one before you, help someone else first. Today's the day for someone else. 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 The smaller is yours and you can give it to someone else.
I don't know. Ja, hier im Studio Felicia Herrschaft und Ilja Karilampi.
Hi.
Hi. And we want to start. And you brought a piece, a work with you. So maybe you can say something about it before we start to listen to it.
Yes, it's a 12-minute sound piece made for Italian radio called Blue Monuments, which me together with Michael Levy produced a few weeks ago, and it will also be broadcasted on Raidu as part of Auditor Apple's Manifesta 7 in August in Italy. And
the Manifesta will start, the opening is at July 17th.
I guess so, yeah.
So they have an ongoing program then.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you are part of it.
Yeah, so parts of it are in Italian, of course. The problem we stumbled upon was that some demands of doing Italian radio is that also the texts that the stories that we wrote had to be translated to Italian, and we read them ourselves back into. So the Italian is not top notch, but as a piece, it's kind of a narrative about that blends together the political career of Garry Kasparov, the world champion of chess. He's now going against Putin, and then it's also about the Deep Blue chess computer. It's kind of a mystical story. It starts with his biography, and then we go into the kind of, and we made some conceptual music pieces also to that, that Eddie developed, and they were kind of based on the moves on chess patterns transferred into notes. So it's 12 minutes long, and I think we just
listen to it.
Yeah,
it's
Thank you. Pardon. C'est quattro. Oh no. Io me ne perdono. Se un messaggio, era una email. Molto misterioso. Che va la chat, alla internet.
Conosco, per tu. Per una sorveglianza, di camera sicurezza.
Che cosa? Che è tu?
Era un movimento. Su una chess forum della internet. Era problema grande della altra persona, insurrezione. Kasparov e la Kasparov e la supporti e supporti Kasparov. Yeah, che una che ultra questione.
Sono nato a Baku, Azerbaijan, nel 1963. Il mio nome era Gary Weinstein, ma all'età di 9 anni lo cambiai in Kasparov. Il mio primo e più intenso ricordo di mia madre era vederla mentre raccoglieva i fiori in un campo colorato. Quell'effetto caleidoscopico era ipnotizzante. I giochi antichi erano praticati nel villaggio dove vivevo. E velocemente li imparai. Un giorno ero sulla mia strada comprando il latte e il formaggio di capra. Avevo in tasca solo pochi pfennig. Sentivo i miei piedi sulla pietra di granito rettangolare, marrone chiaro luccicante, e pensavo a come sarebbe stato guidare un aeroplano. Da allora giocavo a scacchi quasi ogni giorno e presto divenne il mio primario interesse. C'era qualcosa nel movimento degli scacchi che mi affascinava. All'età di 13 anni vinsi il mio primo campionato. I sovietici erano molto attenti e premurosi nell'educazione dei loro studenti e atleti. Fu fino a quando diventai 21enne che realizzai che avrei potuto vivere di quelle mosse coordinate. Io trovai il mio modello di riferimento in un capitano ucraino, che imparò il suo mestiere su uno di quei sottomarini russi. Allora c'era da passare il tempo, sognando le scene di una realtà epica che si riflettiva sul bianco e nero della scacchiera. Nel 1995 diventai il più giovane campione mondiale di scacchi.
Now the king, he move one space any direction he damn choose, cause he's the king. Like this, 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 all right?
This was suspense beyond anything the world of chess had ever known. Gary Kasparov, 34 years old, a cheerful and confident player throughout a dominating career, hovered over his pieces in the deciding game of a match with an implacable challenger.
Do you think Vladimir Putin is thinking through the moves that he's making? Is he a good chess player?
No, I think that Putin is a KGB officer and he's the expert on judo. And he relies only on the brute force.
Then, in the mid-game, analyzing millions of possible scenarios by sheer brute force, 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 brute force.
Now I'm listening to what I tell you. 19 years old. And 1 point.
intuition, able to explore 200 million positions per second.
Born in 57 Ren on 7.4 IBM, 8 minutes to constructing Cold War luxury silicone chip.
So how do you get to be the king?
It ain't like that. See, the king, stay the king, all right?
So how do you get to be the king?
It ain't like that.
Mio caro amico, non ci vediamo da molto tempo. Come stai? Sei lì? Lo so che puoi sentirmi parlare con te. Proverò a parlare direttamente al tuo cuore. Mi ascolterai? Se parlo con te? Da 3 anni, ora 3 anni, 15 giorni e 43 minuti che abbiamo giocato la nostra piccola partita a scacchi. Il serio danno che hai causato al mio cavallo mentre eri in Africa e il segno del tuo coraggio e della tua pazzia. Un uomo saggio una volta mi disse: non piangere sul latte versato. Lo so che parlare è d'argento, ma fortemente ti suggerisco di stare fuori dall'orbita politica. In questo caso dovresti chiedere a te stesso: voglio veramente governare questo paese? Il nostro amico italiano ha salito al potere. Tu, dall'altro lato, non sei né settantenne né una personalità mediatica. Tu veramente faresti meglio ad uscire con una bomboletta di spray tra le mani o a scrivere poesie dalla collina verde di Lancora Massali. Ti abbraccio fortemente e ti consiglio di trovare la calma interiore e di essere paziente. Vieni a trovarci in estate. I migliori auguri dell'Oceano Atlantico. Il tuo amico Lamata.
This regime is criminal. It's a police state. They arrest people everywhere because it scares people. And we're
Deep Blue, a computer.
Questo è solamente un assaggio di uno stadio preliminare.
Waves of vibrations across the table as he sets down his glass, his salt and pepper shakers. He doesn't look satisfied. His BlackBerry on the checkered tablecloth shudders as if it is next in line for the firing squad. He waits for the car to pick him up. He knows not fear. He has learned to trust emotions. They yield the syrup of logic.
They will be walking towards the train station. It will be late Sunday afternoon. Small pieces of torn paper will be scattered all over the pavement.
Sono qua.
Blue Monuments was produced by Michael Eddy and Ilya Karilampi as part of Auditory Efforts, Manifesta 7, 2008.
So, we are back. Yeah, maybe there were different storylines in that piece.
Mm-hmm.
So, the end was now Allein gegen die Mafia.
Genau, Allein gegen die Mafia. That was the infamous last scene of that series where the police officer gets assassinated by a few mafia members on the courtyard. And he says sono qua with it. I'm not sure of the real meaning of that. But he, anyways, ends with a kind of assassination. And we, the first text that you hear is kind of a written, it's a biography, fictive biography of in this case, Kasparov, and he was born in Azerbaijan, and we take the airplane towards there, and there's also this element of chatting in the beginning, an Italian guy is chatting with a chess computer who's threatening to you know, make a move or something like that. It's kind of a virus gone overload, and the second text, which is written in Italian, is a letter from a friend, which says that yeah, they've known each other for many years, and he's written him a letter from the Atlantic Ocean telling him that he should probably avoid stepping into the political orbit or something. And we kind of kept it loose, but based on the themes of technology or computers or Deep Blue and so on, and it's like, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's somehow related, because the last show you did was about jazz somehow too, and about communism. So it's connected because some of these jazz players are from Azerbaijan and from or from the former Soviet Union.
That's right.
Do you think there is a connection in how they play jazz, and what has it to do something with communism?
Well, I don't play chess myself, and I'm not so into the game, but there's some aspects of it that I like, that it's, I think that a lot of the culture from former East or the East now, it's, if you look at how the Soviet Union was training their athletes, for example, and other kind of intellectual activities on it, for sure there were maybe more support from the government, and that probably gave, you know, it's a totally different climate. I'm not an expert on the area, but I find it interesting and a bit mystic also, especially the areas around Azerbaijan and going to Afghanistan and so on. It's kind of, yeah. But the material that we had before, the last episode which you talked about, that was also, we started doing research for the Blue Monuments piece. And at that point we had material, both musical, and also we started working with fireworks, sound of fireworks and bombs and so on, and kind of try that out to see if we could fit it into what we've written down about where and how the thing could come together, and that was
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. But you said you played chess with your mother when you were a child. Something happened.
Oh yeah, that incident. Yeah, I remember that. No, you mentioned it. Yeah, when I was kind of crying because of losing. It's a hard game to lose in also. And playing against my mother at the age of 6, you don't really have a chance as a child, you know. And then you end up losing, and you cannot even understand how you lost, because you don't really understand the game. I was leaving crying totally. And if you're a bad loser also, it makes it a bit more complicated.
Yeah, that's right. At this time, have you had an idea if you are becoming an artist?
Well, at kindergarten, I was really into drawing and so on, drawing Mickey Mouse and Tintin, you know, this comic and so on, and had some praise for that among the other kids' parents and so on. But at that age, you don't really think about what you're... I wanted to become a police officer or something when I was really young, like to make a, you know, like astronaut or something quite common. But there was always this thing about making things and kind of diving into your own, you know, exploring things and so on.
Yeah.
So it might have, plus my family was very artistically kind of into that stuff somehow.
Yeah, so what are you doing?
Well, my mother is a psychologist, but she's drawing comics on the side and was always drawing and taking photos and so on. And my aunt was doing oil paintings in her studio flat at the east side of town. And yeah.
Yeah, nice. Why I'm asking, I'm wondering, because if you call something you're doing latest findings, that's interesting, because in research, if you're doing research as a sociologist, for example, you are talking about findings. So that was my question, somehow in the intention to understand better how you are coming to your findings.
Mm. Yeah, there's of course, it always has this thing of being like, is it the latest thing that you kind of collected, or is it the latest thing according to a year and so on? And I think a lot of times it has this thing to do with the need of archiving or collecting things, and also to yourself bringing up to what's kind of the freshest sound or what's the freshest topic. Or I think we came up with the name Latest Finding just because we always wanted to, you know, make sure that it wasn't based around a certain theme or so, more that we'd be constantly looking for new material and collecting, and then we would make a selection of that and play it, and then hopefully would have some kind of linear thing to it, you know. And then just also what is new, I think it's really important to kind of be open to what's really new, and also things we did that we didn't really, you know, always like or understand even, but it's anyway like part of, you know. But I like this thing you said about sociology. Also, is of course quite interesting with that the aspect of. But you know, a lot of times it's just things really like and find very like interesting and new.
Mm. Okay, so I did that.
Now, bounce, them there.
back again.
Yeah, back again. That's really funny that we think about being back.
The latest findings, yeah.
The latest.
The absolutely latest findings and experiments.
Yeah. Maybe to explain it more precise, to have this perspective on sociology. So if I do radio, for example, then I would... with guests, not if I'm alone here in the radio somehow. Then I would see, would look on what the guests are doing. If they are improvising, or if I'm improvising, that they can react on something, I would look afterwards on what was the improvisation or the testing, to describe the testings, for example. That is then a finding. But for you, maybe it's other way around, to have findings before and then you combine the findings.
What I really like about, I mean, for example, if you have a few things which you have found or which you kind of fit into your, you know, your world or something, you have this material already, but you can play it, or for example you improvise or you experiment, and then it's first afterwards that you know how it would come out, because most things are so controlled in a way, or you kind of, you're working on a film or something, and it's very kind of strict, but it's also the working with sound, you have possibility to experiment a lot, and it would be totally different if you add that piece of text, you know, or that piece of sound before that and so on. And I think that's really the, maybe more as a similar feeling to what a DJ would put on a record or something, you know, like kind of this, they would set that mood, and that would be really cheesy and so on.
Yeah.
And, but of course it's always, and also to kind of keep it really experimental and interesting and funny and
yeah.
And
and it has nothing to do with having, for example, a political imagination of something where you think there has to be a certain come out of something. No. Or...
Well, first thing, I mean, sometimes keeping it vague, I think, can be more, actually maybe saying more than if you would put out like a political manifesto or, you know, anything. I think I'm more interested in just, you know, making things that are kind of, you know, vague than saying, giving a political statement or plan or beforehand playing a, you know, I think it's, depends on what you think the responsibility of any person who's, you know, producing something which more than one people would hear than,
I don't know. Interesting is probably that maybe if you think about time structures, the time structure in the radio, like to think about how long and what to do when, and when is and it's always not it's always ending, but if you do an artwork, so you could try to bring it into another dimension of time,
yes,
of to make it durable, or as a to think about the duration, that the duration is endless, for example. Do you think about the time structure somehow when you are in the radio or in relation to what you are producing?
I think there's a very good song by the rapper The Game, which I think he had made a song about. It's exactly about how many minutes he has to record or how long the song is. So he ends the whole track with saying, in 4 seconds it will end, and I just had 3 minutes and 36 seconds, you know, and it kind of becomes about, you know, what he's doing, and you know, you also become aware of that he's actually standing in a studio and kind of experimenting with his voice and really like just going really far out. And another good example of that, I think, is another hip hop artist called Lil Wayne, and last year's, I think that might be more one of the more progressive, like, music styles, because the parts of the industry might be very commercial and sending out messages which is very, you know, kind of demeaning to lots of people. But this artist Lil Wayne, he just made a song called Millie, and I think he really, that really shows that what you know, what it could be about, his use of the air, of him being on air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
To put it on, it's Millie.
Yeah.
By Lil Wayne.
Yeah, money. I'm a young money millionaire, tougher than Nigerian hair. My criteria compared to your career just isn't fair. I'm a venereal disease, like a menstrual bleed through the pencil and leak on the sheet of the tablet in my mind. Cause I don't write shit, cause I ain't got time. Cause my second minutes, hours go to the almighty dollar and the almighty power of that chopper. Sister, brother, son, daughter, father, motherfucker, copper. Got the Maserati dancing on the bridge, pussy popping. Tell the coppers, ha, 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 you can't catch them, you can't stop them. I go by them goon rules. If you can't beat them, then you pop them. You can't man them, then you mop them. You can't stand them, then you drop them. You pop them, cause we pop them like Orville Redenbacher. Motherfucker, I'm ill. Yeah. A million here, a million there. Sicilian bitch with long hair, with coconut every year, like smoking the thinnest air. I open a Lamborghini, hoping them crackers see me. Like, look at that bastard Weezy. He's a beast, he's a dog, he's the motherfucking problem. Okay, you're a goon, but what's a goon to a gobbler? Nothing. You ain't scaring nothing on some faggot bullshit. Call him Dennis Rodman. Call me with your own peach. Call me on my sidekick. Never answer when it's private. Damn, I hate a shy bitch. Don't you hate a shy bitch? Yeah, I hate a shy bitch. She ain't shy no more. She changed her name to my bitch. Yeah, nigga, that's my bitch. So when she asks for the money, when you through, don't be surprised, bitch. And it ain't tricking if you got it. But you like a bitch with no ass. You ain't got shit. Motherfucker, I'm ill, not sick. And I'm okay, but my watch sick. Yeah, my drop sick. Yeah, my clock sick. Am I not thick? I'm ill. Motherfucker, I'm ill. Yeah. See, they say I'm rapping like Big J and Tupac. Andre 3000. Where is Erica Badu at? Who that say they gon' be Lil Wayne? My name ain't Big, but I keep that flame. Like, who that wanna do that? Boy, you knew that you that spoiler. And I be this shit, now you got loose bowels. I don't owe you like 2 vowels. But I would like for you to pay me by the hour. And I'd rather be pushing flowers than to be in the pen sharing showers. Tony told us this world was ours, and the Bible told us every girl was sour. Don't flee in a garden and don't smell her flower. Call me Mr. Carter or Mr. Lawnmower. Boy, I got so many bitches like I'm Mike Lowry. Even Gwen Stefani said she couldn't doubt me. Motherfucker, I say life ain't shit without me. Chrome lips poking out the coupe, look like it's pouting. I do what I do and you do what you can do about it. Bitch, I'll turn a crack rock into a mountain. Damn, man, don't you compare me, cause there ain't nobody near me. They don't see me, but they hear me. They don't feel me, but they fear me. I'm ill at C3, 3P.
Talk.
No problem.
So.
Can you move your tongue like this guy?
So.
Yeah. If you think about time structures.
Yeah.
Again. What are you doing? This is number 3.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Just,
okay.
Yeah.
What kind of how would you compare or reflect time structures in the radio in relation to what you're doing in an exhibition space, for example? Would you where do you see differences?
I think, for example, if I'm working on a video work or something, there's clearly, I mean, except all the other aspects, it's clearly always a timeline that you make a decision of how long something should be, or if you have a 1 minute clip, or if it's going to be a 10 minute film, you know, or if the material is going to be wood or metal, which is much heavier. I think it's always this, which you could translate into a time-wise thing also. Difference is, of course, that you might as well be in your living room because there's no one else, you know. You don't have that feedback where people, you would immediately see someone, what they think about what you say, because it's just us here right now. But,
yeah, only if you're working with sound, you have this difference between presense and absence. Because the sound is coming and it's going. So you can listen to something and you hear it. You can hear it, but in the next moment it's gone.
Yeah. And sound, you cannot explain, you know, a sound or something. A sound is something which you're, I mean, a sound is not to be actually talked about, but it's to be listened to, I think. And that's a difficult thing sometimes, how you would, you know, how if you read a music review, how somebody would, you know, write about how a thing sounds is, of course, very objective, because it's that person's attempt to describe it in words. And the thing that I really enjoy with sounds is just that it's kind of a thing you do without, you know, talking or looking or something. It's just kind of an audio experience, more or less, and that is very powerful sometimes. And it cannot always be explained or kind of analyzed. I think it's it could be, but it comes down to it. It's very, it affects you, could affect you very strong, because it's, the sense of hearing is, of course, very strong. Can be, yeah, it can be, very well can be. As we just said, it could be and can be and will always be.
Yeah, it can be. It. So you can always try to be in relation to the music and how you probably compose and how you bring sound together. That's what you can do in the radio.
Mm.
That's different to what you can do in an exhibition space.
Yeah.
But in exhibition space, you have a different way of composing with objects, for example.
Mm.
On the wall, on the floor. So, I don't know, do you agree with that? Or what is your intention if you are researching music? How do you know what is really new? I mean, you have to have a kind of storage in your head about music.
Yeah. referencing to the Deep Blue, the world's most powerful computer, I guess that a lot of people has that thing where, you know, you pick up things which you wouldn't, you wouldn't see a reason why to remember some things, and then you kind of forget to pick up your keys when you're leaving the house, and you end up calling the locksmith to open a door because you just left them on the inside of the kitchen door. But the question was with if you compare it with like exhibition or...
So you compare it more with your situation at home, that you're listening to something and then you're going out and forgetting your keys.
Yeah, for example. But
that happened.
That happens, yeah. And I think, I just think that it's up to every individual's nature. You know, you find things which you find inspirational or anything that would, you know, make you feel in some way, and then that just keeps on going. But if there's any, sometimes it could be a certain theme or something also which you would be looking for, as anyone doing research or so, that you'd be interested in a phenomena that, you know, you just cannot kind of...
And this has to do, again, with how you're finding things.
Mm.
If you're looking for an inspiration or a theme. Yeah?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like if you make a library or something, right? You have a library of things which are there for a reason. One day you'll find a reason to use some of that stuff, and some will be thrown away, and that's just, it has to be more and more extensive in order to put that into whatever work that you'll do. If it's a music piece or an installation, for example, or even a painting, you know. But that's maybe more about the creative process than actually the output itself. I feel that you were thinking about.
Yeah, that's right. And to come back to the show from the last month.
Yeah, last year.
Last year, when you started, you said there was a birthday last in June from a nation, and you asked for the nation. But because today we have the 4th of July, it's another birthday.
Is it? Yeah, today is the 4th. Yeah. Which nation is it today? I think we most of us know probably.
Yeah.
Last time it was Sweden who had this national day. Yeah.
Sweden.
We actually forgot to mention that, and I mean nobody called in I found a Swedish flag in Haupan over one of the stores there, and they were out on sale now after the European championships in football. So you can get a Swedish flag for €1. So we kind of hung it out my window. It was the only flag on the whole facade. And then the Greek kiosk owner on the other side mentioned it. He was wondering who put out that Swedish flag, even since they lost. It was kind of funny because it's all this national celebration the last weeks in Frankfurt, and you know, Croatians and Turks and Germans, and everybody's going kind of bananas. And then now a week after, it's all
gone
over somehow, and it's changed the city environment a lot, also especially around Barnesviertel, where I live.
Yeah, that's really interesting how the environment is changing through how people are celebrating because of football. It's a kind of... you have said in Iran, for example, you had a lot of... during the revolution time, you had only brown, gray and dark colors. And now it's changing more and more into colorful flags they have. So it's more... kind of a kitchen you can see everywhere. But here I would say, but that has more to do with how the regime is not allowing kind of a different form of a free expression, I think. So then it's turning into more and more kitchen.
So then you have a neon pink flag with a silver star on it or something.
Yeah, or you have some figures, religious figures, which are very colorful, for example.
Mm.
It's like a decoration.
I like that flag from Nepal, or is it the one that is kind of two triangles sewn together, and it's not really at all a rectangular shape, but it's the only one.
Yeah, but here, if through the football game, if you think about Germany as, for example, a post-war country, for 60 years it wasn't possible that people really decorate things like celebrating together on the streets. That changed since it happened, okay, but it wasn't like a nation who is celebrating something. So that changed, I think, till 2002, and 2006 it was really like a reconciliation with that identity forms and decoration yourself.
Hmm.
So you're playing something?
You had another question that you were talking about, different ways of speaking and voices and, yeah. Können ja aber in Deutsch reden, vielleicht.
Klar.
Aber die Frage war...
Ich have to hurry up.
Ja. Dein, ja. Oder mal, was meine Frage?
Ich wollte noch kurz etwas über Wien erzählen.
Ja.
Das nämlich in Wien... Als Deutschland-Türkei übertragen wurde, gab es ein wirklich unglaubliches Unwetter. Also die Straßen waren überflutet und der Regen schüttete. Und es gab dann in dem Übertragungswagen einen Stromausfall. Ganz kurz, eine Sekunde. aber die Rechner in dem Übertragungswagen sind runtergefahren. Und, und das Problem war, dass erst anderthalb Sekunden später die Notstromaggregate angegangen sind. Und dadurch gab es eben Übertragungsbreaks. Hm. Also in Wien konnte man im Grunde dann die zweite Halbzeit überhaupt nicht sehen, weil sie das nicht mehr zum Laufen bekommen haben. Also es gab dann wohl keine Probleme bei der Übertragung aus der Schweiz, aber eben bei der Übertragung aus Wien gab es dieses Problem, sodass viele dann wohl umgeschaltet haben, aber diejenigen, die eben die Sendesignale aus Wien bekommen haben, hatten das Problem, wie Premiere zum Beispiel, dass eben nichts mehr zu sehen war bis zum Schluss. Also man konnte auch noch das Internet sehen. Aber wie gesagt, es lag an der kurzen Strom, an dem kurzen Stromausfall. Und die Computer sind jeweils hochgefahren, dann gab es Fehler bei dem Hochfahren und dadurch ging nichts mehr.
Wahnsinnig. Wahnsinnig. Total Wahnsinn.
Ja, yeah, total wahnsinnig. Okay. Mhm. Also wie gesagt, es ist einfach im Radio die Frage.
Heutzutage. Ja, sorry, Entschuldigung. Entschuldigung.
Ja, okay. It's possible to say everything. Ja, die Frage ist, wie, in welcher Weise ist das Sprechen interessant und kann das Sprechen nicht auch wichtiger sein, indem wie man ganz normal spricht im Radio und nicht daran denken muss, dass man auf eine bestimmte Art und Weise kontrolliert wird beim Sprechen. Das ist doch fast wie jeder hat seine eigene Flagge am Auto.
Ja.
Normalisierung.
Also manchmal ist das ja aber auch so klassisch, weil die konventionelle Radiogespräche so, weißt du, ein Show oder mit so ein Panel oder so, die sprechen. Und das war auch der Fall mit ich und Michael, dass wir manchmal versucht, um etwas anderes auch machen, weil laut oder andere Diskussionen, aber was du halt mit Gespräch und so, also ich mache gerade einen schwarz-weiß Film über Dr. Dre, Dr. Dre heißt er.
Ah, ja.
Und die war einmal, habe ich gehört, zum Architektstudium vorher die Niggas with Attitude Periode startet und das wollte ich irgendwie untersuchen in einem Film. Und dann ist das auch gefilmt auf so einem Mixertisch mit alle Lampen und so und dann kommt Speaker-Text in Deutsch und Englisch oder Schwedisch und so, da kann man auch vielleicht irgendwie experimentieren aber wollte nur sagen, dass der ist erklärt verschiedlich, Unterschied, großer Unterschied zwischen beide Aspekte auf.
Okay, also ich habe noch eine Sache und zwar in Wien ist mir auch ein Künstler begegnet und ich wollte auch wissen, was das Künstlerische da ausmacht. Also das ist ja auch so ein Teil dieser Untersuchung. Auf jeden Fall meinte er, wir Künstler sind soziale und verletzliche Wesen.
Was ist verletzliche?
Vulnerable.
Kann so sein,
ja. But what has this, hat das etwas mit der Position des Künstlers in der Gesellschaft zu tun, dass er genau diese Verletzlichkeit äußern kann?
Ja, so.
Oder what is
die Sache, also,
vulnerability for you?
The thing is that maybe your work is that becomes more vulnerable perhaps because perhaps you put a lot of work into it or it stands only for like from the beginning something that you wanted to, you know, make. So if somebody's, you know, has a very strong critique of it, then it's really on you, you know, since it's kind of a full-time job as anything else. And then it's also maybe vulnerable if you put a lot of your own, of yourself into it, right? Like,
yeah,
as a record. And the social thing, I guess, is it's different from person, but for sure it could be very like vulnerable to be exposed like that, and then it's kind of you and only your, or if it's a collaboration as with Michael, but that's a good question.
Okay.
Aber
so.
Ja, danke, Felicia.
Viel Spaß in Schweden.
Oh, danke.
Sollte, und dann schauen wir mal, die Manifesta wird ja am 17. Juli eröffnet und da
genau, ja.
kann man sich ja überlegen.
Ja, auf den 18. August, glaube ich, auf Rai Due, der italienischen Nationalreihe, kommt die Blue Monuments, das wir erstmal gehört haben.
Und dann auch noch in irgendeiner Box, als Box.
Als Box, ja, so als Teil von Auditory Apples, als Teil von, ja, so weiter. Aber, ja, macht's gut.
Yeah, bis bald. Ja. Ciao, am Mikrofon hier im Studio. Ciao, der Herrschaft verabschiedet sich. Bis dann, ciao. Haben wir noch ein Stück?
Nee, wir haben's.